Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, it's like Peaches and Herb. It's reunited and it feels so good. Should feel great for you guys today, but obviously, just what's been going on before we even get on the air, there's a lot of venomous topics on the agenda for today, and we can get into it. We can dig and delve down as far as you want to go, but it's going to be some fun. Barry's back in the studio. Nick is back in the production room. And hey, the usual suspects are intact and back, ready to go. Don't call it a comeback. We've been here for minutes. Barry, what's up? Glad to have you back in the studio.
What's up, man? I would love to tell you guys that I missed all this. What the hell happened to the studio, by the way?
We kept warning you.
There's these lights, which at least these lights aren't as bright as the other lights.
But you can still get a mild tan from them.
So that's a positive. And then I see that they moved the cameras around a little bit. This feels like we're on the news now, like Sports Center. Mm-hmm. I feel like I have to dress up. Do I have to wear a tie? Nick, is there rules? Is there dress?
No, I don't think so.
That's is there a dress code for this?
I think we should get an endorsement deal, I told Nick. I mean, if we're expected to be presentable, then someone should be presenting our clothes.
Well, you're going
to
make a ton off of Nike. That's all you wear.
I'm thinking about it, yeah.
Yeah, that's good for you. I'd love to tell you that I missed this, which I did. But you know what I didn't miss? The drive.
Okay.
God,
after all the miles you put on your car in the last week?
Yeah, but driving to work was nothing. Little Rock traffic, and I should make air quotes, just driving in and getting back in the Galleria, and truckers, and tow truck drivers, and old people, and women doing their makeup,
horns,
and idiots eating bowls of cereal and talking about on their cell phone, and people on Facebook, and God, I hate you, Houston. I hate you so much right now.
Just because of the traffic.
Not all of you, just the most of you.
Well, at least after being gone a while, you're endearing yourself to your audience right off the bat. That's always good. That's a good start.
Well, you know, it's what it is.
Plus, you do kind of live far, bro.
Yeah?
We always tease
what
you
do you
about
want me
it.
To, what do you want me to do?
Like Kobe Bryant, I want you to get a helicopter so you can land it on top of one of the buildings in the gallery and make the whole traffic thing go away.
I don't want to live in the city. There's bums and no.
You guys realize that, right?
Crime and traffic.
Realize
and,
what?
That's how Kobe got to all Lakers.
You mentioned that before. Yeah.
He bought a helicopter. He said, some people buy boats. I bought a helicopter. He flew into every game to a skyscraper near the Staples Center and had a car waiting.
How much did that cost him? What a waste of money, even if he is a millionaire.
Yeah.
But I don't want to live down here because of the crime, too. Like, inside the Loop or inside the Beltway, the crime's always worse than in the suburbs.
I mean, we live in the suburbs, and it's not that far.
Well, yeah, it still is. Not as far as spring, but...
Dude, but it can happen anywhere. I mean, the funny thing was, it's not funny either, but Lisa's parents live in Indio, California, which is right outside of Palm Springs, right? Which is, again, what everybody thinks is, it's a golf and retirement community. Nobody's going to, aside from Coachella, no one really, is there for anything other than, to just vacation. And so they've got a mobile home now that they're retired. They're like not even home. And their neighbor said, hey, we saw a guy that jumped your fence and was looking around in your backyard and jumped out. And they're like, what?
Wow. That's so weird, man.
It can happen anywhere.
That's so true.
Speaking of that, so it happened again. I've got to figure out how
balls got bigger?
No, I've got to figure out how to clean this up. So I'm at a I'm at my show Saturday. Mm-hmm. I can't look at you. I want to look at you, but it's weird. Because
the angle of the desk change, which I get, you're going to have, it's adjustment.
So I'm looking straight at the camera. Like, Nick is on my right and you're on my left. And now if I want to talk, I have to face one way or the other the entire time.
For lighting purposes.
In these cases, all you got to do is dance and people will love you. I found that out.
Anyways, so I'm at my show, Saturday, early show. And I had a good set after the show, taking pictures with people from the audience and talking to people, and this one lady comes up. She's like, can I take a picture with you? I was like, yeah. And her husband was with her. He goes, I'll take it. And so he's over there and he's fiddling with his phone, and I kind of, you know, I put my arm around her, she puts her arm around me, and she's short, but she looks up at me, she goes, I told him I was gonna bleep you tonight while you were on stage. I was like, what? And bleep was like sex you. I was gonna have sex with you tonight.
Yeah.
But she used the F word, and I was like...
And it wasn't Friday.
And I started laughing. She goes, what's funny? And I was like, oh my God, this woman is serious. So I didn't know what to do, and then I look at him, and he goes, I'm about that cuck life. I was like, what?
Wow. Doorbells, oil changes, and this?
What just happened? What am I going through right now? Arkansas, Little Rock, get your stuff together. It was so, he was just like, yeah, I'm about that cuck life. I was like, oh my God.
So they've moved on to sleep from sleeping with each other and their relatives to go straight to that.
And I was like, they weren't playing, like they weren't joking. Like and I was like, well, guys, look, I'm not into this. It's not my thing. I mean, we can take this picture and stuff, but yeah, I'm definitely, they're like, why don't you just come to the bar with us and hang out? We'll buy you a drink. I was like, nope. You're not roofieing me. That ain't no.
Now, you know the question is out there, so we have to ask it. How'd she look?
She was not hot. No.
I got a feeling when he said lady.
Yeah, and
she was short and chubby. It was not, I mean, no. I mean, even if she was, it still was like, I'm not letting some dude. Well, first of all, I'm married. Yeah. I do 15 to 20 minutes of material about being married. Why would you think that would be okay? Just because you're about that cuck life doesn't mean anybody else is.
I didn't know he would approach you and say, like, I didn't know that was a way to let you know.
He had no shame.
And
he was just like, yeah, I'll watch you bang my wife. I don't care. I'll feel bad about it.
He didn't want to watch, brother. He wanted to participate.
No, I don't think that's what the cuck life is, but it was just, I'm just like, what? This, in 5 years, it's happened twice now.
Hey, funny guy.
It shouldn't happen.
I know I'm just watching, but you know, while you're in here, come on over here and sit on daddy's lap.
So it's Little Rock and El Paso. That's so weird. I didn't even tell my wife. She doesn't even know that happened.
Since she doesn't listen to the show, she still doesn't.
She won't know. Yeah. I mean, her brother probably is listening, but whatever. I don't know. But that is so weird. I don't understand. Like, I guess that's what turns people on, I guess. But why would you just assume randomly that everyone would be into that and that you could just approach somebody
and
just
bring that up? Because you're a city slicker coming to their neck of the woods.
I guess.
That's just weird. You've had some rare luck I don't even want to call it luck.
And then I'll tell you the story because well, we got a minute left. I can't even see the clock anymore because the damn lights are in the way.
At least Barry's turned over a new leaf. Since he's come back, there's nothing bothering him or nothing he wants to complain about.
Can we move the clock over there? That would be easier. We're
probably going to have to if you can't see it.
Can you see it, Joel?
Mm-hmm.
You can?
Yeah.
Well, you don't go to break on time anyways. I'm the one that needs to see it.
Boy, it's so good to have Barry back. You can reach us throughout the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can also reach us via Twitter, which is at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. And we'll take you up till 4 o'clock. Then we'll turn it over to the Blitz. So you guys can do what you do, and that's why we call it what we call it. It's the usual suspects because you guys participate on a regular basis. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. I've been telling you about them for a long time. Gallery has been a staple in this H-Town community for a long time, and that's why they want you to be a part of the Gallery family by shopping for whatever furniture you need at one of their three locations. They're located at Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland. They're also located in the Galleria on Post Oak, right across from Dillard's, and they have the mainstay I-45 North exit Tidwell Parker both ways, where Max sits at the front desk, and regardless of which of the three locations you hit up, the people all do the same thing. They kill you with kindness. They're overwhelmingly customer service friendly, and they stand by everything that they say in all their commercials and their marketing. That means that if you buy today, you get tonight. There's no exceptions. That's the rule. That's what happens. Within 3 to 4 hours of you purchasing your furniture, they're going to be at your door, and they're going to be delivering it. While they're there, going to be moving stuff around for you if you need that done. If you need furniture taken away, they'll do that too. Also, throughout the process, there will be no back order slips. That means that what you buy is what you get, and you don't have to wait to get it because they take pride in taking care of their customers. And finally, as Mac always says, it's not just a slogan, it's a way of doing business, and it's something you should always keep in mind when you're looking for furniture. Gallery really will save you money.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second hour of the show, and I'm sorry, second segment of the show. Looked at me getting ahead of myself. Barry is back. We're rolling. In doing what we normally do, we bring you the best in people that can talk about things that are very pressing over the course of sports and other things. That means Sarah Barshop, who works for ESPN covering the Houston Texans, and you can follow her if you aren't already easily by following at Sarah with an H. Barshop, as it sounds, B-A-R-S-H-O-P. You can also check out the column she just wrote for ESPN.com, which basically is analysis for every pick that Brian Gain and his staff made over the weekend for the Texans. So without further ado, we do welcome in Sarah Barshop, and we appreciate you once again spending some time with us.
Of course. Great to be back on with you guys.
Always welcome in our neck of the woods, Sarah, and obviously with the draft that just went down, Brian Gain didn't have a first or a second, but basically with what he compiled in terms of the picks that they put together, it looks like in most grading and in most people's eyes, this was a successful first draft for the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, when you don't have a first or second round pick, obviously the bar is a little lower, but I thought he got a lot of value with the 68th pick with safety Justin Reed. And I thought he did a good job of, I mean, I don't know what his draft board looks like, but it seemed like he did a good job of matching need with maybe the best player available, because they filled spots or they added depth to spots that maybe a couple years down the road they know they'll need because of either guys leaving or whatever.
Yeah, I thought the Justin Reed pick was interesting because I think it provides a couple of different things, Sarah. I was curious if what your thoughts are on this, because I think it allows Tyrann Mathieu to play cornerback some more, where they're probably still weak and they're old. So now they've got Aaron Colvin. They added Tyrann Mathieu. Both of these were offseason acquisitions. And then adding a free safety in the draft and Justin Reed. Is it possible that we see Aaron Colvin and Tyrann Mathieu at cornerback a lot with Justin Reed in the backfield with Howe?
If it's possible as the season progresses, I think one thing that has stood out to me talking to Tyrann Mathieu, but he said one of the reasons he chose coming to Houston was because they told him he could focus on safety. So he said, you know, I've been playing in Arizona. I was playing everywhere. I was going to so many meetings, and I didn't feel like I was necessarily becoming a better football player because I was kind of like a jack of all trades, and I want to get better at one position. So I think they'll start him at safety, but, and we saw last year when players were getting injured or when guys weren't playing well, Bill O'Brien does a good job of moving his players around the field, and certainly that's something we could see.
All right, so let's talk about now post-draft, what's going on before we get down into anything else. There's been some rumors out there. We talked about it on the show last week, but there are rumors that don't seem to be going away that if the Texans are looking to create more cap flexibility or to do some other things, that Lamar Miller's name may be on the chopping block as a possible casualty. Are you hearing anything like that, and what can you tell us about that situation?
I just can't see that happening. I wrote earlier in the offseason that it was a possibility just because I think he's the running back with the fourth highest cap hit. But you look at the running backs they have on the roster. In fact, I was just working on a 53-man roster projection. You have Lamar, your foreman, who you don't know how he's going to do coming back from the injury. He's supposed to be ready for training camp, but if he's not, are you really going to depend on Alfred Blue and Tyler Urban who played more of a slot in a slot role last year. I think unless someone emerges in training camp that you feel very, very strongly about, I just see a hard time having Steven cut Miller.
Sarah, were you surprised that they took Martinez Rankin ahead of Orlando Brown with that second pick in the third round?
Yes, but just based on when I was looking in the third round, just of ESPN's best available player at each position, it's kind of surprised. But I think Brian Dane and Bill O'Brien have a very strong type of player they like. They like these big players. They like, I mean, every time we talk to Brian Dane, he's like, height, weight, speed. That's what I like about this player. So my guess is that he just fits their mold a little bit more. And just, you know, they like the interviews they had with him. I think when you get to the third round especially, it's a lot different, I think, than the first and second, where maybe it's a little more clear-cut or, you know, you have groups of players. I think maybe when you get further in the draft, you kind of go with the guy that you either talk to or that you really like.
So they drafted two tight ends, and I know that they'll already be talking about the fact that at least one of them could potentially start, but we know that tight end is another position of need. They addressed some of the defense. They addressed the offensive line, but I'll give you a two-part question. Is there a tight end out in free agency that they still may be going after because of the fact that they're not expecting a rookie to jump right in? And then the one that just won't go away is everybody is inquiring, is Dez Bryant on their radar at all?
So the answer to the tight end, I think the fact that they took two tight ends makes me think that they want to stay in-house. I don't think they'll keep four tight ends on the roster. So I think you have to see if Atkins can take the next step and if he can be a receiving tight end and take, you know, some of what Ryan Griffin does. I think into the draft, you knew they needed a blocking tight end, and that's kind of what they see Jordan Thomas doing. But he played outside just due to injuries at Mississippi State. So he's got the size, and he's a really big player, but I think you have to make sure he can actually block. And if not, I think you maybe see Atkins along with Griffin and Steven Anderson next year. And then Dez Bryant. I don't see it. I mean, just based on what Bob McNair has talked about in the locker room, what Brian Gain has talked about, the players they like. I mean, certainly he's not a troubled player or anything like that, but they already have DeAndre Hopkins, and I just have a hard time seeing Watson getting the ball to him, Dez, and Will Fuller, and being able to spread the ball around. So I think they have a young receiving core in Houston, but I don't know. I think if everyone can stay healthy, it's a pretty good group.
I'm curious your thoughts on overall the offseason that Brian Gain had for the Texans. I mean, he went out and got Fulton and Henderson and Kelemete for that line. You know, they added, they bolstered the secondary with Colvin and Tyrann Mathieu. Then this draft, give us an assessment overall of how you think he did in his first offseason for this team that had so many holes to fill.
So I think he did a good job, but there's a big but. I don't know if he's going to play left tackle next year. And you have to protect Deshaun Watson. Now, Bill O'Brien said they're going to give Davenport the chance. Maybe Rankin can play left tackle. Maybe he starts there. But I know that Nate Solder got a lot of money, but I just think that's a position that's very important, as they saw last year. And until we know whether they're going to have a solid option there, I think it's a little tough to say, yes, this was a great option for Brian Dane.
Well, you're going to have a busy offseason continuing, as you already have, but a lot of positive things going on in the Texans camp. So we appreciate you spending some time with us, and we'll continue to follow you again at Sarah Barshop on Twitter. And you can read her columns on ESPN.com as she continues to be the eyes that follow your Houston Texans. Sarah, thanks so much for all of your insight and for joining us when you do.
Thanks. Great to talk to you guys again.
There you go, Sarah Barshop. Good stuff there as we continue to kick around, and I'm sure the three of us will also continue to delve into what the Texans have done and what they continue to do. But at least it's interesting to get someone who's still following them day to day to figure out what they might be thinking about and what they are doing. So that's just a half hour of the show. We still got plenty more to go. Again, if you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter as we'll continue to roll on. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at American Wheel and Tire. I love these guys. They've been in business and doing it for over 30 years. Mike and Tammy Gust have kept it in the family and run it for over 15 years. And as the title states, it's wheels, it's tires, but it's so much more. But starting on what they focus on most, wheels and tires, you can get custom rims and custom tires for your vehicle to give it that unique one-of-a-kind look. But you can also feel rest assured that when you come in with a damaged rim or tire, that they can fix it in most cases and or replace it if they have to. But they're going to be honest with you, and they're not going to try and just upcharge you with things that they know are either easier or better for them as a company. That means if you've got just factory rims and tires on your car that you got from the dealer, and a rim is damaged or a tire is damaged, they're not going to tell you you got to replace that thing right away. They're going to look at it, they're going to analyze it, and they can, in most cases, pound out dents, buff out scrapes, and salvage rims, and also repair tires before you have to replace them. It's just a way of doing business so that you know that they've got your back, and they're not trying to get your money, they're trying to get your business long term. They can also do a lot of great things, as I said, to make your car individual and unique in the way it looks and the way people see it when you drive down the road. It's wheels, it's tires, it's Kevlar wraps. If you have an SUV or a pickup truck, you can get steps and bumpers and lights, and the whole thing is done right there while you sit in the comfortable waiting room, looking out the window, seeing your car being worked on, and your technician will come in throughout the process to keep you updated on what they're doing, what you don't need, and how much they're going to charge you. That's why, aside from just everyday people that are going in to make their ride look better, pro athletes and all kinds of bigwigs in the Houston area bring their rides to American Wheel and Tire because you have a lot of choices, and they know that if you want the best, then don't settle for anything less than American Wheel and Tire. They're conveniently located 290 and 34th Street just outside the Loop, but you can also check out all the great things they've done for vehicles at AmericanWheelAndTire.com.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half of hour number one. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. It is The Big Show, The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. If you missed it, we just caught up with Sarah Barshop, who covers the Texans for ESPN. So she can give you what you need to know either via the podcast if you check what you missed, or you can read her articles at ESPN.com and or following her at Sarah Barshop. She's got some good stuff. She went draft pick by draft pick and broke it down, but you were on the road. We really haven't gotten into the draft, and obviously there was a lot of meat and potatoes going on Friday, Saturday. But I think the interesting thing right off the top for me was, you know, everybody talks about value per pick. I thought it was great that they got a kid in Reed that, it, you know, Kuiper and Todd McShay looked at each other and said, where'd you, and Kuiper called McShay and said, called him out on the set and said, hey, where'd you have him rated?
Mm-hmm.
McShay had him at 28. Kuiper had him at 29. Yeah. So you're always looking for value. If you got a potential first round pick in the third round to start off your first draft pick, your first draft and your first draft pick, I think he did pretty good.
Yeah, I think most people, the consensus is that he'll be a starter day one, that he'll play and have, you know, meaningful contributions within week one for this team. So that's good, because if you're a team going into a draft and you can't draft in the two most important rounds, which are one and two, and get this one of 64 of the best players available, when you can kind of steal one by doing that in the third round, if you're saying he was a top 30 pick, that's a good job by Brian Gain. I mean, obviously we'll have to wait and see what all these guys end up being.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a big area to address, which was the secondary, and they wasted no time doing that. They take they take Justin Reed with a free safety with their pick, along with the additions of Aaron Colvin and Tyrann Mathieu. So good for them. But I think Sarah brought up a great point. They did all that, but they really still have not addressed the left tackle position. And I think that the additions that they added in Fulton and specifically Centrell Henderson on that offensive line, along with Martinez Rankin, who they drafted with their second pick in the third round. None of that's anything that makes you, you know, feel like, oh, okay, this is a squad. This is a unit that's going to be able to protect. I mean, those guys, you know, Fulton and Henderson are serviceable, but they're probably backups or the worst linemen, if they are a starter, the worst of a five-man crew on any other team.
Yeah, I mean, here's the other thing, too, and we've talked about this on the court, on the field, but even position by position. The bottom line is you can have upgraded talent. I won't even say that you can have great talent or a great unit. But I will say this. There's a big thing where chemistry plays in. There's a big thing where continuity plays in, especially when you're talking about the offensive line. Yes, they've quote-unquote addressed the situation. That means by addressing it, they're bringing in new talent. They're bringing in guys from the draft and guys from free agency that, you know, that they identified at a fair price. But the fact of the matter is, your entire franchise, and I don't think I'm going out on a limb by saying this, your entire franchise rests on the guy behind center coming off an injury. And it's one thing to say you've addressed it. It's another thing to say that you've got it to the point where there's continuity, where they're together as a unit and they're going to protect your biggest asset, which is Deshaun Watson. And obviously it's going to take some work to do that.
I think they did a good job though overall. I mean, when you don't have but three picks in the third round to get your draft going, I think they did pretty well, all things considered. I do think I would have taken Orlando Brown over Rankin. I know Brown had a horrible combine, but everything I read, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I watched all these guys and know, but everything I read about him was that, yeah, he tested bad, but if you just watched him on the field, that you knew that he was better than what he tested out to be. But that said, I don't think that he's so leaps and bounds better than Rankin. He's just a big dude. He's so much bigger
Orlando
than him.
Brown,
that's
is
the
like
thing.
He's like the dome. I mean, they said one of the reasons why, you know, even though he's not speedy, but you don't need an offensive line to be speedy, or there's things you can pick on him for. The one thing is an edge rusher's got a whole hell of a long way to go just to get around that dude.
Yeah, just to give you an idea. So the kid that they drafted, Rankin, 6'4", 308, 33 3/4 arms. And I'm just looking at NFL.com. Orlando Brown, 6'8", 345. 35-inch arms. Now, the weird thing is that Rankin, they have, because they have his measurements and they have his hands, 10 1/8 inches. They're bigger. He's got Orlando Brown's are 9 3/4. So it's weird. He's got shorter arms, bigger hands. We'll see. I don't know how that works. I'm sure that's a leverage thing. I'm pretty sure in saying that offensive lineman, you want longer arms. You want to be able to control.
Just thinking.
Pass rushers.
We can go down the hall and ask Lance what he likes more.
Yeah.
Big hands.
What do you like? You
a soft touch.
You a big length, hands or a long arm guy?
Length over width. These are all things Lance is an expert at analyzing.
Yeah, way more than me. But there's a reason they put all those, because those are the measurables that you look at and be like putting a vertical for, you know, wide receiver or whatever. But all in all, I think the Texans had about as good a draft as you could have, given what they had available to them. I mean, I don't pay attention to anything after the fourth round anyway, so I don't care about the rest of their picks, really. I don't think that, you know, like Thomas and that kid from Stanford, the outside linebacker or the cornerback that they drafted from San Jose State, Kelly, I don't know that any of those make any meaningful contributions. But I think up through that tight end Thomas from Mississippi State, I think all those guys could be in some way, shape, or form on this team and making a contribution.
Yeah, and that's all you can ask for, right? I mean, that's the biggest thing. Even with your look, it was such a weird draft. Guys were sliding all over the place. And I'll give you the perfect example. It wasn't just in the first round. Bo Scarborough, who was a beast of a back at Alabama, seventh round.
That's crazy.
I mean, so, you know, in a lot of years, people scoff at undrafted free agents. Look, there's some talent out there that for whatever reason was just hanging around. So there's opportunities for you to still better your team. And I'm glad they're kicking the tires on every opportunity of every possible angle to try and get better. But like I said, especially when you get to the offensive line, look, man, that's something where you can get some more talent, but you've got to get continuity. These guys got to work together. They have to work as a unit. And I mean that by not the work they put in on the practice field. They got to have each other's backs. Know, you know, when some guy's getting beat to come over and help. Do all these different things. That's what this offseason's going to be. That's why it's hyper important what they do from this point forward as you analyze not only who they got, but what they're going to do with it to see how these guys come together. Because they, as you've pointed out several times, they still have money.
Yeah.
But you know, a lot of that shouldn't be spent until they realize what their pitfalls might be with what they're working with.
The other, I mean, a couple things from the draft, because it happened over the weekend, and we talked some of it on Friday. We talked first round on Friday for sure. But I do think it was an awesome story to see Shaq Griffin get drafted and to be playing with his brother again. I thought that was really cool. And good for him for getting drafted that high. And I saw something where his 40 time was messed up. That's why he slipped. Is that maybe that his they reported it wrong, or I don't know. It was weird. But I was glad for him to get drafted and then be able to go play with his twin brother is really cool as well.
Yeah.
The other thing that I did, and I might have mentioned this on Friday, but I made it a note just to bring it up again. I really thought Cleveland, the Denzel Ward pick was a bit weird to me. I mean, I get why they did it, but at the same time, you passed on Chubb. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You had an opportunity to wreak absolute havoc on your defensive line, and they went out and got a good player in Denzel Ward. But I thought that was kind of a reach.
I think the interesting thing, because you and I did kick this around last week, but I think the interesting about the whole scenario is you got 1-4 as your first two picks, right? Yeah. You have a chance to basically just put to bed any kind of fodder or leave out the quote-unquote potential just to see how things play out by making – even the safe picks aren't going to hurt you this year. Because if you look at the safest pick as quarterback, Sam Darnold. If you look at the safest pick at 4, if you do pass on Barkley and didn't take him 1, you're right. Chubb is their guy. And you put Chubb and instantaneously you've got premier young pass rushers on both sides of the defensive line. And Myles Garrett on the other side is no slouch. So you're already building your defense to improve it. Those are tougher to come by, but that would have put everything to rest. Now, instead, you're looking at what happened with the Browns even after that, and you say, well, they got Nick Chubb to start the second round, so they got a running back, too. So that, you know, and he was
Chubb, a
potential first-round pick, but that's exactly where I was going. Fact of the matter is, there's more scrutiny now, and there's more people analyzing this draft as a potential bust, depending on how things work out short and long-term. And you didn't have to go through all that if you had just made the picks, not even the safest picks, but the picks where you could got the safest players, I think, that had the biggest upside still.
Even that guy from Nevada that they took,
the guard.
I don't know. I think you're right in that. I mean, a lot of people think Baker Mayfield, they took a flyer on him when Sam Darnold may have been the safer pick. Not getting Bradley Chubb. I think Nick Chubb was value for where he was drafted, because I really liked his game. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people kind of wrote him off because of the injuries, but I think he's going to be a hell of a running back. But still, yeah, I mean, with all the picks that they had, I feel like Cleveland kind of they didn't go Cleveland like they would have in the past, but I don't think they did all that well.
They didn't crap the bed per se, but they didn't exactly make the
right.
Filet mignon.
Like which I don't do grades, but like a C. Like, okay. You could have done worse. You could have done better.
All right. Well, before we get any further along in the process, look who decided to join us. We're talking
look
football.
At this.
That must mean the reemergence of one Clarence. Clarence, thank you, by the way, because you were a smartass on Twitter, thanking the Packers for giving the 14 pick to the Saints. Thanks for giving us an extra number one right back at you. But what do you got on the draft?
Nothing. Just like y'all said about Cleveland, Browns doing Browns things, man. You had potential to just have a great defense and a good starting quarterback, and yet you take a higher risk, higher reward quarterback and a running back in a second round. It's Browns doing Browns things.
Isn't that but unique, though, Clarence, because of the fact that, I mean, when you think about it, it's a whole new football staff, and they're all guys that are proven in other places. You would think that Browns mentality and reputation should be behind them now, because they got, instead of a baseball guy and other guys, they got real football people. But you're right. That's been the sentiment, as Barry was saying, too. The overall, including Kuiper, who is just blowing the horn as loud as anybody, saying that the Browns, it remains to be seen, but there's a chance that they really blew it again.
It really is. I did not sit making that pick and get that ego doing Browns things. But I would like to thank your Packers. And we did give y'all a number one, but I can absolutely see why. It's we got Drew for the next 3-4 years before he decides to retire. It's a win now mentality. And getting Marcus Davenport on opposite of Cameron Jordan, and that'll help the front four and, you know, help out the back seven more so. And fun fact, I don't know if y'all know this, but y'all know who Marcus Davenport's his coach was, is Mr. Frank Williams. Mr. Frank Williams is a New Orleans product. Used to be an assistant coach at my high school, L.B. Landry. He went on to be a head coach at Old Perry Walker and sent him on to a couple of championships, and now he's at USPA. So he knows how to evaluate talent as much as anyone. He said that there's tremendous upside for Marcus Davenport. So now I'm expecting great things out of that, knowing the background that he comes from, knowing that the coaches he has. And I think it's going to be a very good draft that we have.
Appreciate the call, Clarence. Good luck to your Saints.
He should really be excited and hope it all works out when you give up a number one for a guy that's supposed to be a work in progress. He might be ready after Drew Brees
retires. Why don't you tell the people what you're talking about? Because I don't think most people know what you're talking about.
Marcus Davenport is supposed to be a project. But as a pass rusher, he's raw. He went to the University of Texas San Antonio.
Uh-huh.
The Packers gave up the 14th pick in the draft to the Saints to move down to 27 where the Saints were picking, and also acquired a 2019 first-round pick. And a fifth-round pick in the process. So the Packers added depth and an extra pick, and the Saints got the guy that they definitely wanted. So we'll see how it turns out.
There you go.
Just following orders, Barry. Just
no, I was just saying, because a lot of people may not know. If you're not fans of the Packers or the Saints, then you wouldn't know that all the details around that, okay. Right?
We almost got our number one of the show out of the way, but you guys are doing a great job chiming in different ways, and the door is wide open. So if you want to call us, 713-780-3776, you can also text that number. That's our HR&B listener line. Or hit us up on Twitter, where we're constantly checking our tweets throughout the show as well. But glad to have you along for the ride as we continue to move on. Back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. It is The Usual Suspects, and this is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Almost done with hour number one of the show. Barry, Nick, and Joel covering a variety of topics, bouncing around, talking some NFL draft in hour number one. Still got plenty to talk about in terms of the Rockets, the Astros with a big series with the Yankees opening up tonight. Lots of things here or there, sports-wise and otherwise. And I always know when my partner is back live here in the studio on the show that at any point in time, anything goes.
Have you seen Infinity Wars?
No, and I won't see it either.
Why?
Because it just doesn't interest me.
You're not a nerd?
No. You know that.
I know. Are you a nerd, Nick? Are you going to go watch Infinity Wars?
I'm not a nerd, but that's a massive movie.
Somebody texted.
I'm going to watch it.
Somebody texted and asked about it. They're just like, how about that Infinity Wars, dude? So I went on, what was it, Friday or Saturday? Oh, no, I went Saturday because I was off. First of all, it's 2 hours and 40 minutes. That's a long time to pretend like I care about anything.
Yeah.
But that's the new trend for movies now. You see a lot of them coming out 3 hours long. So I was talking about that same subject at the Rockets game,
yeah,
in between halves. And he was like, they described it as not that long. It's 2.5 hours. So
yeah, that's a long ass movie.
It depends on how you look at it.
Do you guys think that's value driven? Because people always say, you know, they're always looking at, you know, getting the bang for your buck of a 3 hour movie because Titanic was a long one. There's a lot of the big blockbusters that are longer movies.
I mean, they did have a lot to cover in the movie, and I'm not going to talk about the movie, so don't worry if you think I'm going to spoil anything. I'm not. I know that they had a lot to cover, and I couldn't even begin to tell you that I'm a Marvel nerd. Like, if you want that kind of depth on the movie, then you should listen to Jong and Michael Carroll's podcast.
Yep.
Because they'll break it down like a mother. And I rarely go to movies, but I was on the road because my wife doesn't like to go to movies. So since I was on the road, I was like, I'll go. So in Tulsa, I went and saw Black Panther. And then in Little Rock, I went and saw Infinity Wars because it just came out, which was awesome. And then in Tulsa, the seats were kind of just, they were just regular movie seats, right? In Little Rock, it was like a $12 matinee, and I sat in a reclining seat, which I hadn't done at the movies because I don't, again, I don't go a lot. I know this is the new thing. But the seat that I chose was on the row of handicap. So I was like, okay, that's not a big deal. But what?
It's just so fitting. But I'm not, you're telling a story. I'm not interrupting. Go ahead.
But there was only two seats. So basically the handicap row is there was like two recliner seats next to each other and then a lot of space for wheelchairs and such. And then like two more seats and then a lot of space and then two more seats. So you could have wheelchairs there. And maybe if you were in a wheelchair and you wanted to sit next to your spouse or whatever, your friend, you could sit it next to a chair. Mm-hmm. So when I bought my ticket, I bought it by myself with the chair to the left of me that was available. And I'm sitting there, and my chair was next to the stairs too, which was horrible because I was eye level with everyone's feet that passed me. And I just wanted to kill myself right then and there. Just to, oh God, it was so gross. A lot of you ladies need to get pedicures, by the way. Jeez. So it looked like you played soccer with a pineapple. A lot of you. Right. It's horrible. So I'm sitting there, and this lady comes in, sits down. This very nice African-American lady. Mm-hmm. And you know, you always hear the stereotypes about African-Americans at the movies, that they're loud and all that. And she sits down and we have a very good conversation and she's like, I'm so excited. I was like, yeah, that's cool. I'm not really that big into it, but I've been wanting to see it. And she's like, yeah. We talk a little bit, movie starts. And sometimes I get why you would yell out in a movie. All right. I get it.
Because if you're scared or something.
Yeah. Every once in a while, maybe. So this lady screamed through the entire movie. Oh, I was like, what is going on over there? She'd be like, oh, no. I was like, oh, my God. At one point, I'm not making this up. She slapped me in my chest. You know how you do something? You're like, yo, check that out. And you kind of just move your and you like hit the person next to you. She slapped me in my chest. I don't even know this lady. I'm like, why did you just slap me? She's like, I can't believe that. I was like, I don't know you. You should not be
slapping. She's sitting in the handicap aisle, right?
Yeah.
So maybe she was socially challenged.
No, there was nothing wrong with her. She was awesome.
What was it? She's down with the cut. I'm down with the cut.
The cuck life? No. She was really cool. Like the conversation we had, she was really into it. Like, she knew her stuff, but she yelled through the entire movie.
Yeah, that's annoying to me, especially if that person is sitting right next to you.
Yeah.
Yes. And I was like, oh, my God. And then, no, here's what, then this was the other thought I had. As people would walk by, they'd be staring at us. You know what they thought?
You're together.
Yeah. That dude needs to control his wife.
Yeah.
Which I was like, she's probably 20 years older than me. And I'm 40. This is an old-ass lady by herself in Infinity War screaming at the screen and slapping the dude next to her that she doesn't know.
What's a bigger distraction? Her doing that or the person that won't put the phone away? With the light and the texting and
that's
or
less
the
of
ringers
a distraction.
On
I can deal
and
with all that.
Yeah, I can deal with that screaming and slapping me and I don't know you.
That's funny.
Yeah, that was, by the way, I went to the movies twice by myself. Both times fell for the old penis and the popcorn trick. Both times. Got me.
What?
You never heard that? The old penis and the popcorn trick? You get the popcorn.
With a hole in the bottom?
Yeah, you
of
put
it?
A hole in the bottom and then put that in there and then you share your popcorn with your girl. But I went by myself and still fell for it.
Well, self-love, Barry. Self-love. Okay, we got one in the books, finishing up on that note, and we continue to roll on with two more to go with the big show. So if you want to join us, please do. We'll talk about Rockets and Jazz in Game 1, NBA playoffs, Astros and Yankees coming up starting tonight too as well. Lots to talk about, and I'm sure there's some things on your mind you want to get off your chest. So join us, won't you? 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with hour number two. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Decisions too high.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.